what Bible are you using? I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, in my chapter, there was only 26 and 27. And I said, and I had written down 28 and 29. So the brutal reality of getting older, when I can't see, and I keep telling myself I'm a young guy because I still feel like I'm 16, and I look at my Bible, and the 26, I think, says 28, and the 27, I think, says 29. I got my glasses. I actually brought two glasses. I brought my pair that I keep on my desk, the pair I bring in my pocket. So, yes, so I brought my glasses this morning. So, my apology for last week. So, this morning, real quick, a couple jokes here. What do you call, or what do they call a pastor in Germany? A German shepherd. So you call him a German shepherd in Germany. And then these are a couple, you're going to have to just bear with me on these because this kind of leads into the sermon. But you know the two men that walk into the bar, those jokes, those line of jokes. And part of that is two men walk into a bar and the third one ducks. You heard that one, right? So then there's two women villains walk into a hair salon and they say, rat, spoiled again. Yeah. Guys, we don't get our hair colored with boils, but that leads into today's, believe it or not, today's sermon. So let's just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that you are, creator of all things, and you love us. Fill us this morning. Speak to our minds and our hearts. Open our thought process for anything that we might need to change in our life and look at internally here amongst ourselves. And we pray for that this morning. Speak to us. And we thank you for this word. So once again, we're starting in James. We ended up James chapter 1 last week. We're looking at James chapter 2 this week. And once again, James, the book of James, James the author, James, is Jesus' half-brother who was not a believer that Jesus was the Messiah during Jesus' ministry. It wasn't until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when Jesus came before James, that James, what, changed his whole position and thought process on who Jesus was, because he was standing before a dead man who had been resurrected. And James' whole world changed and became a believer in who Jesus Christ was. And as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, that James met with Jesus, and he met with the apostles early in the church when they met to pray. So that's where James is. That's who we're looking at here today in James. And the reason why I started, I always like to think, you know, we always think about the personality. I like to think about the personalities. How was Jesus' personality? How was James' personality? What were these guys like? And I always like to think that they like to have fun, and they like to have jokes. And James basically gives us the joke this morning. When he starts off, he says, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. And he goes into this joke. Suppose a man comes into your, you know, suppose two men come into your meeting place. That's kind of why I pulled out the two men walking into the church. That's what he's doing. So James is saying, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? So James is once again speaking to what the Christian Jews who were scattered throughout the region because of the death of Stephen. That everyone assumes that they scattered around. James is writing to still the Jewish believers of this early church, and he's calling them out of favoritism. And at this time, the meeting where they met, because at that time, it was early church. So did they have their own churches? They met in rooms. They met in homes. Some people think in history that since the early church met on Sunday, right, the Jews still met on Saturday in synagogue. Early Christians met on Sunday, that they thought, well, maybe the early Christians could have rented a synagogue from some of their Jewish brothers. We don't know, but he's calling out in their meeting, and he's saying, suppose these two men come in. One man has a gold ring, wealthy, and you can see it outwardly, and one man, and actually I tried to dress down a little bit today before this, and I told Jen when I was like, I'm going to wear some ratty old clothes. And I put my ratty old clothes on, and there's holes everywhere. I'm like, I can't wear these out. So I can't preach in those. I mean, I'm no problem with jeans, but I mean, I had holes in them. They were pretty much really bad. So I didn't wear my shabby clothes, but I was going to. So James is saying, when you look at these two people that come into your service, they come into your house of worship, they come into your church, What's going on here? Because this is what was taking time at the place, or taking place at the time. So people were walking in, and people were looking at, saying, "Well, this guy's wealthy. Look at the ring. Look at how he's dressed." And then there's this other man who came right off the street. And what were these Christian Jews at the time? The Christian Jews at the time were more of the poorer people. And James is saying, what are you doing? You're discriminating against the poor, but at the same time, he's also saying, you're discriminating against the rich. You're judging these two types of people, and that's what leads us into where we are with chapter 2 today. Verse 5. James says, listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world, which we talked about last week, right? We talked that we'll see more against the poor, not against the poor, but about the poor and about the rich as we continue to go through James. So this isn't the last time James touches on this. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not those who are rich exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they the rich? He's still talking about the rich. Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? James is saying, what are you doing? So here are these rich people, and James isn't calling out that all rich people are bad. I mean, we know that Abraham had wealth, right? So Abraham had his own army, and when he traveled, and he's the father of the nation, right? So we're not looking at that, but he's calling out what's taking place here. You Christian believers, as people are walking into your meeting, you are discriminating against by how you see somebody. And it's why? Because of our evil desires. We also talked about the desire of sin that takes place last week. So then he rolls into verse 8, and this is where most of our time will be spent this morning. James says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, if you really keep, not just, hey, this is the royal law, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. The royal law found in Scripture. What's that royal law? And that's really what we're going to be breaking down. Because today's sermon title was called Royal Law or Favorite Sin. James is pulling out here the royal law, and it goes back to the royal law because he was what? He was Jewish. They studied the Torah. He understood all the Old Testament. The Jews at the time also understood the full Old Testament. And they go back and they talk about the royal law, which can be found in Leviticus 19:18. You can turn there if you want. If not, no worries. I'm going to read it. Chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus, a book of laws, right? So, to the Jews, Old Testament, James pulls this out for the royal law. It says, do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor, or favoritism to the great, either or. But judge your neighbor fairly. The royal law is spoken right here. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love ourselves? We love ourselves pretty good, don't we? I mean, we do. He calls out the royal law. And once again, in Leviticus 19, 33 and 34 also talks about the royal law. When an alien, an outsider, this is to the Jews that James is bringing up now to the New Testament in the book of James. When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself. Love him as yourself. An alien, a foreigner that's in your country. And then Leviticus 19:15. I'm sorry, I read that one. I should have started with 18. But so we'll read 18 because I didn't read that one. Do not seek revenge. And this is where the royal law stemmed from verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one another of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So all these verses, 15, 18, and 20, 33 and 34, all talk about the royal law pulled from Leviticus. And all the Jews at the time, the early Jews that went through their studies through Torah, knew of the royal law. And James is calling the Christians out again and saying, you need to live by the royal law. And then Jesus talks about it. So James is talking about it to the believers because Jesus talked about the same thing. All through Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, we see Jesus talking about the royal law. Matthew 22. You know what? Let's just go to Mark. Mark chapter 12, 28. We're going to read real quick here. There's another portion in Matthew. Calls out the same exact thing on the royal law. And this is the greatest commandment. It says, one of the teachers, Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law, one of the Pharisees, came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, Jesus, which is the most important? Jesus said in verse 29, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. The most important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The royal law. no commandment, and this is taken from the Shema prayer. I'm not sure if you know, it's a Jewish prayer. That is what they pray in the morning and night. And Jesus is pulling from that prayer, and then he goes right into the royal law about loving your neighbor. Just as James is saying, love your neighbor. A good story that we all know is found in Luke chapter 10. I'm just going to read this real quick. Verse 27. I'm going to start at verse 28. What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? Jesus said. This man answered, the Pharisee answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Good question, isn't it? Who's my neighbor? You see in Leviticus, it was a foreigner, an alien that's living within your country. Jewish people at the time were taught, and they were trying to follow the law so correctly, some of them, right? Some of them, we know, weren't and still don't, because we're all people and we all act the same. But what he's saying is, who is my neighbor? And this, then Jesus leads right into the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what do we know about this parable of the Good Samaritan? This is basically the royal law kind of rolled into this story of the Good Samaritan. And what he said, they go into the story of the Good Samaritan, which we know. And as we hear the story, we're looking internally now at us. Who are we today? How are we? Are we loving our neighbor? Because so many times, you know, we have divisions. And we have political divisions. We have doctrinal divisions. We have family divisions. We have all these divisions that are pulling us apart as our main job as Christians. The two jobs is to love God and to love our neighbor. Now, it doesn't say love the neighbor's sin or anything like that, but we're, as Christians, we're supposed to be loving our neighbor. And James is saying here, now you are judging people based on how they look. Because this guy is poor, you're putting a judgment on him. This guy is rich, you're putting a judgment on him. James is saying, we're not supposed to judge. We look at this outwardly appearance, and he's saying, don't judge. Do not judge. The Good Samaritan. What we know is this guy's walking down the road. It's a 17-mile journey. As he's traveling, he gets mugged, he gets beat up, and he's thrown into the side of the road, into a pit. And we all know the story. He's laying there, left for dead, and the robbers take off. And who walks by? We know the story. The priest walks by, and he comes by. And actually, we have this great rhyme Bible. I wanted to bring that. I'm not sure if you ever heard of the rhyme Bible. It's this story, and it goes through this story in a rhyme. And I wish I would have brought that to read. But anyhow, so this guy is laying alongside of the road dying, and the priest walks by him. Who's the priest? We know the priest is the upper echelon of the whole community, right? He's looked upon as he is so close. And the priest walks to the other side and won't even help the man. What's the royal law say? Love your neighbor as yourself. He walks on by. Levite comes through, the same thing. Also an upper echelon of the community from the tribe of Levi, and they were to help the priest. And he comes through and the same thing. Another man of God walks right on past this poor man that's beat up and dying in the street. And then we know the Samaritan that we know that the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other and they battled each other and they weren't fond of each other whatsoever. But the Samaritan man, he's the one that looked down upon this man that was beat up in the street. And what did he do? He picks him up. He puts him on his donkey. he takes him into town. He had some type of wealth because he had a donkey, number one, and then he also had some silver coins that we see in the story in Luke that he gave to the innkeeper, the person that was handling the establishment there, to take care of him. And he said, when I come back, he said, keep this guy alive. When I come back, I'll finish paying it off. A Samaritan guy who was not taught, as far as we know, the Torah, like the Jewish priest and the Levite, he was not taught to that extent. But what did he do? He was following the royal law. The royal law. There was divisions amongst those people. And we have divisions today. And I'm not trying to get into any politics, but we know we have this division amongst ourselves in our country that's pulling our country apart. And as Christians, we all tend to say things maybe we shouldn't, right? And I'm not saying we're condoning people's sin. That's not what Scripture wants us to do, but we're not to judge based upon what we see here of wealth, someone's rich, or someone's poor. We're supposed to look at people as we see them, as they are a person. They are a soul that if they were to die right now and they don't know Christ as their Savior, they are going where? To hell. That's how we need to be looking at people. We have to push apart some of these divisions. I'm saying we agree with people on things, but we need to look at the soul. That's our neighbor. That's what James is saying here. This is the royal law. This is your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And as Jesus says, these two commandments, it's based on the Ten Commandments, right? You know, the first part of the Ten Commandments was to love, all about loving God and honoring God. And the second part of the Ten Commandments, just the Ten, but then it was about people. That's where we need to remind ourselves. We're here to love God and to love people. We need to take care of our neighbors and people. Verse 9 in James 2. Yeah, actually, I'm going to go back to verse 8 just because I want to read that again so we all hear it. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But, verse 9, if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. If we show favoritism, not just like, don't do that, it's a bad thing, it's not going to hit. James is saying, if we show favoritism in this manner, we sin. Like, we're trying not to sin, right? As believers, followers of Christ, we are trying not to sin. And James goes on to tell us, hey, you might not be committing adultery, you might not be murdering somebody, you might not be lying and stealing. In verse 10 here, for whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. That's a lawbreaker, which we all know there has to be the penalty paid for a lawbreaker. That's what James is saying. That's how he's calling this out. Favoritism, showing discrimination to one person, to another person, stems down to what in our lives? It stems down to an evil desire flowing out of us. And we're looking at people and we're judging people based upon, are they poor or are they rich? And that's what he's saying here, poor and rich. Do not judge in that way, because if we do, showing favoritism in that way is sin. Flat out sin. He doesn't beat around the bush. And how many times have we done it? I know we all, I do it. I'm a sinful person. And I think everybody in here, as long as I've known humanity, we're sinners. And we all do this, and we do it now. And why do we do it? Why can the evil desires? Because when you see somebody that has money, sometimes you think, what? Well, what can I get from them? And it comes back to this self-desire. Instead of taking care of your neighbor as yourself, you're taking care of yourself first, and then you're worrying about your neighbor, maybe down the road. But we think about ourself. What can I get from this person? Or what can that person that has money that's walking into our church, into our meeting area, what can they benefit our church? How can I get more money out of that guy's pocket? Or, yeah, look at the poor man. They're just going to suck stuff out of us. We want that rich guy in the prime seat. James is saying, no, uh-uh. If you think like that, believers, it's sin. The royal law. Go back to the royal law. If you stumble in one area, you're a lawbreaker. Jumping now to verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes that's really hard to do, isn't it? To love your neighbor. You know, we know how we want to be taken care of. But a lot of times on this royal law, we just need to know, what do we expect coming back to us? There's a guy that I know that was involved in this bankruptcy, and there was a group of, it was a co-op buying group that went bankrupt. And this guy was selling him product, this co-op. He was selling this co-op product. And this co-op went bankrupt and stuck this guy with, you know, some money. And the bankruptcy went through, and well, in this co-op group, but there's a bunch of people that were involved in this bankruptcy. They went bankrupt. There was, in that bankrupt co-op group, there's a Christian guy in there who felt bad that they went bankrupt. So he went through and he calculated how much money he owed the vendors from this bankruptcy. This was his portion, his share. And he called the vendors and said, hey, listen, this guy got a call from this guy and said, the guy said, hey, this place went bankrupt. I was part of this group. I'm a Christian guy, and I feel it's not right to go. I'm coming to this person to say, what do I owe you? I owe you, I have a debt to pay. And this guy was kind of taken off track that, like, he said, holy cow, these other people, no one called. You hear anything. This one guy who held the standard of Scripture, and he was thinking of what? The royal law, taking care of someone, take care of your neighbor as you would yourself. He calls. And he talks to the guy and says, how much do I owe you? And the guy was so taken back, he said, well, your debt's forgiven. Don't worry about it at this point, because you're holding to your principles as a believer. Love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 12, once again, speak and act as those who are going to be judged. Because we are all going to be judged. Some of us sooner than others, right? But we know judgment's coming. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment, without mercy, will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. What is mercy? Mercy. Are we merciful people? Do we show mercy to people? Yeah, that's part of our job. Because we're not judges. We're not supposed to be judges, but we're supposed to be loving people. And as their love takes, you know, I'm not saying we love people's sin. That's not what we're to do. We're supposed to love the person. And these whole verses, and actually, Roger, I am going to 13 today. Sorry, I didn't have my glasses on when I read that earlier. But verse 13, are we showing mercy? Are we that person, or are we the person showing judgment? James is saying we're going to be judged. And if you're showing favoritism, you're sinning. Jeff, if you're showing favoritism, you're sinning. I don't want to show favoritism. And I'm sure none of us do, but it's so natural for us. We need to show mercy. We need to love our neighbors. And our neighbors are people within our community. Our neighbors are people that we come in contact with every day. If we're at the store and you see someone, even though they're not your neighbor, they might be an alien from another country. What are we called to do? Love thy neighbor as ourself. That's what we're called to do. So my prayer this morning is that we take these words from James and apply them to our life as we walk in our daily life. To apply love. Not to show favoritism, to show mercy. And speak truth of the gospel to people. Because that's love that we need to show. If you are a lawbreaker and you've never accepted Christ, we know that the only way that we can be in glory with Christ is if our sins are clean. If you've never accepted Christ, this morning after the service, I am right here. I'd love to talk to anybody about Jesus and salvation, because that's what we are here for. We're here for God, and we're here for people. Let's pray this morning. Father God, you are truly amazing. Let me just pray, Lord, I know, man, sometimes it's tough. Lord, you know my heart, and you know that we can show favoritism very quickly, and that's not what we need to be doing. We need to show love very quickly. Help me to show love very quickly to people. Help me to be a loving person. Help me to stand for truth and be loving. Help your word to sink into our head this morning. That we can take this outside of the church. That we can take it to our neighborhoods, to our schools, with our family, wherever it may be. And that we'll show love. And that love will show and direct people to you. Help us to be willing to open our mouth of who you are and what you have done for us. Help us to honor you with our life this week as we move forward. In your name we pray. Amen.